Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part of Daf Lamed, six lines from the top, you will notice an inverted house shape. This is part of a series that we started during our last shiur, during which time we were discussing the issue of Yeshno l'shchito mitchila v'yatsof, or Eino l'shchita ela basof. The house markings were designed to show which direction we are going. With the tip of the house facing upwards, we were raising questions on the approach that said Yeshno l'shchita mitchila v'atzof. With the point facing downwards, this will be a kasha on the Amanda Omar that says Eino l'shchita ela basof. Of course, for the understanding of these concepts, one will have had to study the information conveyed on Daf Chof Tes Omid Beis. So in the spirit of the continuation of that sukya, we raise a question, and this question will present a case for the side that says Yeshno l'shchita mitchila v'yatsof. But if you hold that Shechita is determined only at the very end, and up till that point it's not considered in halachic terms Shechita, then we will have a difficulty. So as we look at the Gemara, we notice that we are starting with a long question. This is indicated by the encircled kuf that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a descending vertical dashed line. All of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite this vertical dashed line present the kasha. At the end of this kasha, then, the Gemara will answer an answer that lasts a few lines as well, which is indicated by the tuf that's encircled also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with its own vertical descending dashed line. Before getting into the Gemara itself, a word or two of introduction is necessary. When the holiday of Pesach arrives, there is, of course, a prohibition of being in possession of chometz. If one were to shecht a korban Pesach while in possession of chometz, that is an avera. The pasuk says, "Lo sishchat al chometz dam zivchi," that when one is slaughtering a sacrifice during the Pesach period, one is not allowed to do so while in possession of chometz. So it goes without saying that on the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon, one is not to be in possession of chometz while shechting his korban Pesach. There is another situation, namely during Pesach itself. If one shechts, let us say, a korban that's appropriate for that time, for example, a korban shlomim during the holiday of Pesach, and one happens to be in possession of chometz, so he is in violation of a lav. Let us say, though, that one shechts a korban, one slaughters a sacrifice while in possession of chometz. However, the sacrifice that he is slaughtering is unfit, is posel. Could be it's possible because you're doing it with a wrong intention. So dafka, because specifically because the korban is not an acceptable korban, so then there will be no violation of this offense of slaughtering korban while in possession of chometz. It's also worth noting that a korban Pesach is on the 14th of Nisan, expected to be done lishma, with Korban Pesach intent. If one does a Korban Pesach with an incorrect intent, shelo b'kavona, then the Korban Pesach is posel. And that's featured in the first Mishnah in Maseches Zvochim. The halacha flips around, so to speak, when it comes to the time that one does not bring a Korban Pesach. What happens is that a Korban Pesach can become a Korban Shlomim. Namely, if you're at a time other than the 14th of Nisan, let's say you had set aside a Korban Pesach, and for whatever reason you didn't use it, you didn't sacrifice it, and now you find yourself in the middle of Pesach with the same animal. If you slaughter that animal with the intention of it being a Korban Shlomim, then it becomes a Korban Shlomim. And therefore, if you slaughter it during the Yom Tov, during Pesach itself, not the 14th, but during Pesach itself, with a Shlomim intention, it's considered a kosher Shlomim. And therefore, if one is in possession of Chometz when he is doing that, he is thereby in violation of the law that we mentioned, Lo Sishchar al Chometz Dam Zivchi. However, if during Pesach he slaughters the Korban, this animal that was designated as a Korban Pesach, and he has in mind Lishmo, meaning he has in mind that it should serve as a Korban Pesach, well, it's not fit as a Korban Pesach during the holiday of Pesach. Korban Pesachs are brought Erev Pesach on the 14th, not during the holiday itself. Therefore, if he were to bring this animal and shecht it lishmo on Pesach itself, which the term used for that is bamoed, and he was in possession of chometz, so he would not be in violation of this particular lav of lo sishchar al chometz. There's a separate problem of his being in possession of chometz bal yiro bal yemotze, but as far as this violation is concerned, lo sishchar al chometz, he would not be guilty. Now let's turn to the Gemara with that background in mind. Mosiv Rav Idi bar Ovin. We quote a source, and we've noted between the lines that this is talking about a case of shechting a Korban Pesach with chometz. So the source says, uvamoed, vamoed means on the holiday itself, lishmoi poter. If he shechts the Korban Pesach lishmo, means with Korban Pesach intent, well, that will ruin the Korban, because bamoed is not the time for bringing a Korban Pesach, and yet he has that intent. Potter, he therefore will not be in violation of lo sishchar ha-chometz, of being in possession of chometz while shechting a Korban. However, shaloi lishmoi chayov. If he shechts during the holiday an animal that had originally been designated as a Korban Pesach, and he does it shaloi lishmo, meaning with non-Pesach intent, but rather as if it were a Korban Shlomim, chayov, he then would be in violation, because he is doing what is in effect a good Korban. By shechting the Pesach shelo lishmoi during the holiday, he is actually fulfilling or doing a good Korban, and therefore chayav, he's therefore in violation of the possession of being in possession of chometz while doing a Korban. V'havinon bo, and we ask concerning this, taimo d'shelo lishmoi. The reason that he is chayav is because, the reason he's guilty is because he did the Korban Pesach with non-Pesach intent. Namely, he did it l'shem shlomim. Ha stamo poter. However, if he didn't have, let us say, shlomim intent, he did it with a neutral intent, he would be exempt. The Rashi makes a point that when the Reisha says lishmo poter, that in fact is this case of shechting it stam. And Rashi says that stam is called lishmoi. Ve'amai poter. Why, if he shechts it stam during Pesach, why should he be exempt? Well, isn't this a case of Pesach b'shar yemoy sashona? which equals Shlomim Hu. A Pesach, Shayim Asa Shana refers to all the rest of the year other than the 14th of Nisan. Now, we're not on the 14th of Nisan. So, is this not a case of a Pesach B'Shayim Asa Shana? And doesn't it become a Shlomim? And if it were a Shlomim, so he should be guilty. Why does it say regarding the Stam case as being Potter? Oh, so Shema Mino, should we conclude Pesach B'Shar Yemois HaShana Boi Akira, that in order for a Pesach to lose its Pesach status during the rest of the year, you have to have a formal uprooting of the name. In other words, you have to have a formal statement that this is no longer a Pesach, but this is a Shlomim. Should we conclude that? That, by the way, is an issue. And from this inference, it seems that in order to get rid of the Shem Pesach during Shari Mos HaShana, you would have to do Akira. The Gemara says, no, we don't want to conclude that. We prefer thinking, at least for now, we prefer the approach that Pesach B'Shar Yemos HaShana automatically becomes a Shlomim. And if that be the case, then why would this source teach that the Moed, Lishmo, which we explained was Bestama, why is it Potter if in fact it automatically becomes a Shlomim? So, the Omar of Chiyo Bar Gamda, Nizrika Mipi Chabura. This is an expression meaning that the yeshiva, the assembly, came to a conclusion in explaining this case, the Omru, and they said, Hocho b'mayaskinon, this source, what is it talking about? The owner of this Korban Pesach featured in the source that we had read a few lines above that was in the frame was so speaking about an owner that on the 14th of Nisan he was ritually impure by virtue of contact with Tumas Meis. And as a result of that, he is given a second chance to use this very animal as a Pesach Sheni. That's what this means. The Nidchim le Pesach Sheni. The Stamo le Shmoi Koi. This, in fact, is a case where Stam, in this case, the neutral situation, in fact, is one of it, yes, being a Korban Pesach. In other words, in general, if you were dealing with a standard owner where he wasn't Tomei Meis, the Pesach would automatically become a Shlomim. And as such, if he were to do it, if he were to shecht it, Stam, during the Yontif, during Pesach itself, and be in possession of Chometz, he would be guilty of Lo Sishchan HaChometz Dam Zivchi. But here we have a case where it doesn't automatically become a Shlomim because it still has a Pesach identity to it, because it is going to be used as a Pesach Sheni, the makeup date, the Yud Dalet Iyor, which is the makeup date for doing a Korban Pesach, which one couldn't do on Nisan. The high who the boy Akira. This would be a case that if you wanted to talk about it as being a Shlomim, then you would have to have a formal uprooting. Ha acher lo boy Akira, but a standard Korban Pesach, or the owner was not Tomei, it would automatically become a Shlomim. Now, all of that is really lead up to the main point. At this point, you can see with our markings, we've squiggled underlined Iyamris Bishlamo, and two lines later, Elo Iyamris. Here, the Gemara ties it together to the issue of Yeshno L'Shchita Mitchila V'Yad Sof, or Eino L'Shchita Elo Basof. Iyamris Bishlamo, Yeshno L'Shchita Mitchila V'Yad Sof. If you say that we understand that Shchita starts as soon as you start the cutting of the neck organs, even before you finish. In other words, at the very beginning of the act of shechita, the halachic status of shechita starts ticking away. Then, ifsu lei mitchilas shechita, then I understand that this animal will become unfit from the very beginning. If we look in the Rashi, right under the Gemara, I amrs bishlo yeshna shchita v'chilatzov, ifsil lei betchilas shchita, it becomes unfit from the beginning of the shchita. D'stame havei lepesach. We're talking about taking an animal, which is a korban pesach, during the Pesach holiday. It is omed to be a korban pesach, and the Pesach holiday is not a time for shechting korban pesachs. And bear in mind, he didn't uproot the name. He didn't make this into a shlomim. So he was doing it as if it were a Pesach. And Pesach is not the time. The tchilas shchita nami posla. From the beginning of the shchita, he was in effect doing a korban Pesach, because yeshno the shchita mitchila itself states that as soon as you start cutting the neck organs, you are in effect starting a shchita. So you are shechting a korban Pesach on the non-Pesach time, which really means you're doing a posel korban. And therefore I understand why you're exempt, why the ratio of the source above said, b'moed l'shmo poter. The Gemara continues, Elo I Amris, the second squiggle underline, Elo I Amris, Eino l'shchita Elo Basof, that formal shchita status doesn't set in until you finish the cutting of the neck organs. Well, kevan de shochat bei porta, as soon as you make a slight incision in the neck organs, itchi le mi pesach, you have cast it away, you have pushed it away from being a pesach. In other words, this animal is not going to live till the 14th of Iyar. So you've done an act which in effect uproots it from being a Pesach. But bear in mind, you're not considered as if you're shechting it as a Pesach yet, because eino l'shchita el besof. So what you've done is you've created a type of injury in the animal that will prevent it from lasting till the next Pesach, in other words, another month. You've in effect done an act which is tantamount to a declaration of it being a shlomim. Idoch ki kashachit, as you continue the cutting, shlomim kashachit, you are in effect cutting, or slaughtering, a korban shlomim. And you have chometz in your possession. So why should you be exempt? Why would it say in the resha, b'moed l'shmo poter? In order to appreciate this, we look at a more elaborate explanation found in the Rashi, where you notice a star in the Rashi, Elo I Amris Lo Posla Ad Gemar Shchita. If you say that it doesn't become posel until the end of Shchita, Ha Gemar Shchita La Pesach Avoy, by the time you reach the end of this Shchita, it's no longer going to be classified as a Pesach. The keva de shochet bei porta, since from the point that you make a slight incision, velo ichzi lishuya de Pesach sheni, it's not going to last till yudalet iyar. Idchi le mi Pesach, you have removed it from the Pesach category. The keva de lochazi le Pesach, and since it's not going to be fit as a Pesach, amris de lishlomen koi. Once you say that it's definitively no longer fit as a Pesach, you have said it becomes a shlomim. The gomar shchita didei lishlomim hu, the conclusion of the shchita of this particular animal would be as if it were a shlomim. ubepurta kama lo ifsul mishum shchitas pesach shelo mizmano. And as far as the initial incision is concerned, that would not render it posel as if it were the slaughtering of a pesach at the wrong time, namely non yud dalet nisan. Do eino l'shchita ol besof. It's not called shchita from the beginning, according to this particular opinion. So, just to review the main point, if you hold eino l'shchita ol besof, in this case, you have, in effect, uprooted the Pesach status by the initial incision, and in effect you are doing you are processing or slaughtering a korban shlomim, so that by the end of the shchita, which determines now this is shchita, it is in effect a korban shlomim, and you, if you had been in possession of chametz, you should be guilty because of lo sishchat al chametz dam zivchi. So why does the source teach potter? Hence, this is a kasha on the Manda Omar that holds Eino l'shchita elo besof. Abaye responds. Omar le Abaye. Nehi de'ivchi le mipesach. Granted that as soon as you make the initial incision in the neck organs of this animal, you have cast it out of the realm of Pesach. And the thought was that it becomes a shlomim. Nevertheless, it doesn't completely leave the realm of Pesach. Midmei Pesach mi idchi. Does it leave the realm of cash value as Pesach? Which basically means that once you make this incision, you have really instilled a blemish in the animal. At that point, it becomes a baal mum, and as such, it's something that can be redeemed. When you redeem such an animal, you would redeem it and exchange its sanctity for cash. The cash that you get in its exchange would become demei pesach. You would use that money for buying another korban pesach. So therefore, the shame Pesach is still on it, and therefore, it would be the shechting of a korban Pesach lishmo at the non Yudalid Nisan time, which in effect makes it a posel korban Pesach, and therefore you're exempt for the possession of chametz with regard to the shechting of the korban. Now, the chitema boy hamodav arocha, you might say, well, it doesn't have any demei pesach value because in redeeming sanctified animals, the animal must be capable of standing up, hamodav arocha, for evaluation, for cash or monetary evaluation. That's a requirement. Hamodav arocha is a requirement for the redemption of sanctified animals. Well, that's not an objection in this case with regard to the blemish in question, where he made a slight incision in the neck organs of this animal. V'hotnan, the source teaches, shochad bo shnayim urov shnayim, a person had slaughtered or cut the two neck organs, or the majority of the two neck organs, v'adayin hi mefarcheses, and the animal, we're talking about a sanctified animal, is still flapping around because of the natural reactions as death sets in. The animal moves, and that movement is called pirchus. And if you have an animal that's still still involved with these, we'll call it death movements, harei hi kechaya lechol dvoreha, it's considered alive with regard to all aspects, so that it's considered fit for it's in, considered in fulfillment of Hamodav Arocha as far as redemption is concerned. Therefore, this animal is still within the realm of Pesach vis-a-vis Demei Pesach, the value that it has in terms of redemption. so that prior to getting to the end of Shita, you in effect are dealing the whole time with an animal that has a Korban Pesach identity, and therefore Bamoed, you're shechting that which is still classified as Korban Pesach. And since Moed is not the time for shechting a Korban Pesach, Moed meaning the holiday itself, you will be you're in effect doing a Pusel Korban, and therefore not guilty of having possession of Chometz while shechting a Korban. So with all of that, we've basically defended the opinion that says Eino l'shchita ela l'besof. So, as far as the general structure of the sugya, each one of the opinions, Yeshno l'shchita ela l'besof or Eino l'shchita ela l'besof, came under attack, and each time they successfully defended their respective positions. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a totally new discussion. Hence, we've used a slash mark to indicate that this is a new point, new flow. The topic heading that we have provided on the outside margin under the No Say heading, we've written Machloikis Rav Ushmuel. We'll see a controversy between Rav and Shmuel b'shochat b'shnayim b'shloshim b'koymos, where a person did the slaughtering on the animal's neck in two or three different spots. We should point out beforehand, as far as the, we'll say, true or complete understanding of this sugya, there are numerous deos in Rishonim. There's a Tosfos on this daf, Dibur Maschal Shochev Shnayim U'Shloshim Makomos, that presents three different opinions in interpreting this particular case, this particular sugya. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, Hashochi b'shnayim u'shloshim makomos, shchita so kshera. If one makes incisions on the neck organs, as opposed to doing one clear open slice where the majority of the neck organs are sliced open, he does cuttings in two or three different places along the neck organs. According to Rav, this is acceptable. Kiamriso kame de Shmuel, Omar li, Rav Yehuda is the speaker in these few lines. Rav Yehuda himself learned first by Rav, and then when Rav passed away, Rav Yehuda continued his studies by Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda tells us, he reports to us that when I told this over, namely what Rav said, I said it over to Shmuel, Omar li, Shmuel responded, Bo inon shchita mufura'as veleka. In order for shchita to be considered acceptable, you have to have a clear, open slice in the neck organs. That's shchita mefuras, a clearly open slice. And therefore, the incisions made in two, three different spots would not be a fulfillment of shchita mefuras. V'af Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish savar bo'inon shchita mefuras. He too is of this opinion. From where do we know that the shchita should be one clear open slice? This pasuk, without getting into the finer understanding of it as far as what the prophet, what the Novi is trying to communicate to us, but the imagery is what's significant here. It says, Chetz Shochut. A Chetz is an arrow, and the shooting of the arrow is described as a Shechita. So if you can imagine, and in fact there will even be a little story that accompanies this imagery later, if one were to shoot an arrow, and it would happen to be aimed right across the neck of an animal, but not hitting the neck laterally, in other words, puncturing it from the side, that would not be a good shechita. But the arrow was flying across the neck of the animal in such a way that it cut the neck of the animal from the outside edge of the neck, thereby slicing the neck organs. Imagine just a flying knife that does a slicing action in flight. Now, if that's the imagery, you can imagine that the shechita slice done by an arrow would be a clear, open cut, not a shechita in two or three different spots of the neck organ. Mosiv Rebbe Elazar. We see this triangle form, and under our Mivneh heading, the structural note that accompanies each new geometric form in the outside margin, in other words, the note is in the outside margin, we've indicated under the Mivneh structural note heading, there's a triangle. Kushios al Shmuel d'Amar bo'inon shechita mufuras. We will be raising questions on Shmuel's opinion that you have to have shechita mufuras. Mosiv Rebbe Elazar. Shnayim ochsin besakin. This is a quote from the next Mishnah that will appear on Omid Beis. It describes two people shechting. Shnayim ochsin besakin v'shochatin. The havamina right now is that we're talking about two people, each one holding their own knives. And they are holding their knives and they're cutting the neck of one animal. Shnayim ochsin besach v'shochatin. They're shechting one animal. Afilu echad milamalo ve'echad milamato. Shechita sof shera. Even if one is above and one is below, along the neck, it's okay. Amai, why should that be all right? V'haleka shechita mefuras. According to Shmuel, this should not be kosher. It lacks the shechita mefuras description. Amarle Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya answers, Mishnasenu besakin echod ushnei b'nei adam. The Mishnah on Omid Beis is talking about one knife, one, we'll say, one long knife, held at each end by two people. In other words, there are two people, one person at each end, holding the knife. So that when the shechita is finished, it in effect is a singular open slice. Omale Rabbi Abba. Now Rabbi Abba raises a question, and it's a long question. You can see we've used a vertical dashed line following the encircled kuf to the right hand side of the Gemara text, indicating the length of the question, till the bottom line. Rabbi Abba says, well, if you're telling me that it's a case of sakin echod held by two people, then how are you going to explain the following Tanaic source which describes our Mishnah? Ihachi hainu detoni alo. If this be the case, namely sakin echod held by two people, then that which is taught, hainu detoni alo, that which is taught concerning our Mishnah, the following brisa says, ein choshishin shemo yitrufu ze al ze, that we don't suspect that one of the two guys will be responsible for ruining the shechita. One will ruin it for the other. So there's a brisa that informs us that you don't have to worry about a problem. In other words, there's a problem that could have been the subject of our concern, and the brisa tells us don't worry about that. So e armas bishlamo bishnei sakinim ushnei b'nei adam shapir. If you set up the case like we did in the kasha, that it's talking about two people, each one holding their own knives, shechting at different points in the animal along the animal's neck, then shapir means this source would have value. It would make sense. In other words, there's something that I could have raised as a point of concern, and the source tells me, don't worry. Mahu d'teimo, leichush d'ma samchi adodi, since there are two people shechting at different points along the neck, well, you might think that each guy is going to rely on the other, that he'll do the good job. V'hai lo osi l'mevad ruba, v'hai lo osi l'mevad ruba. Each one will be samech on the other one for doing the rov, the majority of the slicing of the neck organ, so that each one himself won't do a rov, the other and be relying on the other guy to do the rov. So kamash malon diein choshishin. This source tells me, don't worry about that, that each one of these guys is going to rely on the other one for doing the good job. No, each one will see to it that he does a proper shechita. If you're talking about one knife and two people holding the knife, each one at the other end, then the fear of it not being a complete shechita, being a partial shechita, a partial cutting, that is, there's no room to worry about that. If there is something to worry about, maybe it would be to worry about a heavy pressure placed on it, that on the knife, which would result in drossa, a different type of shechita problem. So language-wise, hi ein choshishin shema yitrifu zalzeh, instead of saying that which is a quote from the source, shema yidrosu zalzeh mi boyalei, if you want to tell me about a case of one knife and two people holding it, and you want to tell me don't worry about something, you should have told me, well, you don't have to worry about drosa taking place. That would be the more likely thing to worry about, and the source would come and tell me and put my mind at rest, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what? Don't worry about drosa. But it doesn't say that. So this presents a problem for the approach that requires shechita mefuras. Omar le Rabbi Ovin. Tani, Rabbi Ovin says, you know what? We are going to go back to the pshat of that which Rav Yirmi answered, one knife and two people, and as far as the language of the source is concerned, so simply restate it as Ein Choshishin Shema Yudrusu Ze Alze. That is in fact the concern, and that the Braiso in its initial presentation was inaccurate, and this is the more accurate version. Mosiv Rebbe Ovin. You notice a triangle. Once again, we're going to raise an objection to Shmuel's point of view that says you have to have Shechita Mefuras. Shochad es haveshet lemato vesakona lemala. The esophagus, the veshet, was shechted lower down, and vesakona lemala, and the trachea higher up, along the neck. Oy es aveshet lemala vesakona lemata, or the other way around. Shechita sokshera. What we've done with our markings, with the dashed underlining, we want to highlight three words that form the main point. You see, lemata, lemala, kshera, namely two different spots cutting is taking place, and it's considered a good shechita. Amai, why is this a good shechita? V'aleko shechita mufuras. You're lacking a single open slicing of the two neck organs together. And yet it's okay. Kasha on Shmuel. Hu moisiv lo v'hu mefarik lo. Rabbi Ovin raised the question, and Rabbi Ovin himself provides an answer. B'shechita ho'asuya kekulmos. If you look in the Sichas Chulin, this is the book of illustrations that accompanies Maseches Chulin. Once again, Sichas Chulin, this is a book that those of you who have been staying tuned to our Shiurim know that we've recommended the acquisition of this book already numerous times. You will notice a diagram or a picture that describes this. So we will, through words, try to explain it as well. He is shechting the animal, the neck organs, at an angle. For illustration's sake, the trachea is located or is positioned above the esophagus, and we're saying this just for illustration purposes, because the truth is that these pipes, these tubes, are flexible, so that you could position it in any way you like. So if you position, just for illustration purposes, the trachea high above the esophagus, your initial slice comes down at an angle. So you start cutting the trachea at a sharp angle. So as you keep cutting, you'll end up finishing the cutting of the trachea and then start the cutting of the esophagus in the same motion, the same open slice. It's just coming in at an angle. That explains lamato and lamalo. And as far as two different locations are concerned, no, it's one continuous slice. And the expressions lamalo mata were simply the above and below was a reference to the fact that the slicing is taking place at an angle, so that when you finish the first tube, your continued downward angle will then cut into the second tube. That's lamalo lamato, but it's one continuous slice, hence no kasha on Shmuel. As far as the translation is concerned, the shchito asu kekumus, kumus is a quill. A quill is a writing instrument that's sharpened in such a way that the tip tapers to a point, and that is what we were referring to as the shchita at an angle. Hahu tura de ishchit b'shnayim u'shlosha makomos. There was a tura, a shor, an ox that was shechted in two, three different spots along the neck. In other words, this is not a shchita mifura'as. Earl, Reb Yitzchok bar Shmuel bar Marta. Earl means he entered. Reb Yitzchok entered. Shokal mishufri shufri, and he took from the best cut of the meat. He ate from this kind of shchita. Amale Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera, in seeing that Reb Yitzchok took from the best cut of this meat and ate it, Rabbi Zera says, you are thereby showing us the pshat in the Mishnah. Limaditonu Rabbeinu Mishnasenu, you are thereby explaining our Mishnah, the Mishnah that spoke about Shnayim Ochsim Besakin, that in fact it's like we saw Rav's original explanation, that two people are holding two knives, shechting along two different spots of the neck. That's Bishnei Sakinim Ushnei Bnei Adam. You notice a slash mark that indicates that which follows is a new idea. The new section deals with Chaloda. Chaloda, in a broad sense, has to do with the shchita knife experiencing being covered during the cutting of the tubes. Now, as far as what is covering the knife, that will be the subject of the Gemara's discussions. We can say ahead of time that the worst case scenario is if the shchita knife is covered by the neck organs themselves. In other words, what one should be doing is taking a knife and slicing into the neck, and you are able to see the back of the knife the whole time. If you slip the knife in, let's say, underneath the organs, and you start cutting upwards, so while you're cutting, the knife is partially covered, we'll say, by the neck organs themselves. That's called chaloda. Let us say someone spread a blanket over the neck of the animal, and you put your knife under the blanket and started cutting away, and thereby causing the knife to be hidden. That will be referred to in the Gemara's questions. We just wanted to give what's called the worst case scenario, or the clearest case of a chaloda violation. Omar Rav Yudah Marav, hichlid es hasakin bein simen lesimen u poskoi psula. This is a case that's also illustrated in the Sichas Chulin book. Here he inserted his shchita knife between the two neck organs. We have the trachea and esophagus, and he slipped his knife between the two, and he did a downward slicing action on the lower of the two organs first, and then slipped his knife out from underneath the upper organ, and then cut it. This, Rav Yudah Marav says, is unacceptable. Tachas ha'or k'shera. If he was able to insert the knife right under the skin surface of the animal, not injuring the neck organs whatsoever initially, and now while under the skin he starts cutting the neck organs from top down, in what otherwise would have been a regular slicing action. This, he says, is kshera. The Gemara asks, my komash mulon, what do I need Rav Yehuda Marav to tell me when tanina, it's already contained in a Tanaic source? And we read a source, and you can see it's in a frame indicating a Tanaic source. It says, O shehichlid es asakin tachas hasheni uposkoi. He hichlid, he hid the knife, so to speak, under the second neck organ, and cut. Rabbi Sheva of Omer, Nevela, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Trefa. There's a machlokas tanoim here, but between both of them there's agreement that the shechita is unacceptable. Rabbi Yeshevov classifies this as nevela, the result being that it will even communicate ritual impurity, tumas nevela. Rabbi Kiva says it doesn't become tome, but nevertheless you cannot eat it. Either way, it's not a good shechita. So doesn't it describe in this source that which Rav Yehuda Marav said, namely the knife is covered by the neck organs? What do I need Rav Yehuda Marav for? Answer. Imi masnisen, had I just had this Tanaic source, hava mina, I would have thought, hani mili, when is there a problem? Milamato lamala delo ka'ovid kederech shchita. This source really described the case. Not only is the knife covered by the neck organs, but he slipped the knife under the lower of the two neck organs. In other words, both neck organs were above the knife. How are you to cut that way? Well, so he started cutting upwards. In other words, the sharp edge or the blade of the knife was facing upwards, and he was cutting upwards. That's called shelo kederech shchita. Aval, milamala lamata, if, like in the case of Rav's din, had I not had his din, there, what is he doing? He slipped his knife between the two neck organs, not underneath both of them, but rather between the two of them, cut the lower one first with a regular cutting action, which means that the sharp edge of the blade was facing downwards, and he simply sliced the lower neck organ first, then slipped out his knife and proceeded to cut the upper neck organ in the same downward fashion with the blade facing downwards. That's called the Ka'ovid Kederech Shita. So Emo Shapir Domi, I would have thought that that is not a bad Shita, that that's okay. Komash Molon, that's what I need Rav Yehuda Amarav to say, to go beyond what the source teaches. Even when you're doing a normal downward cutting action, if the knife is not completely exposed, there is a chaloda problem. We saw this before, tachas ha'or kshera. This was mentioned by Rav Yehuda Marav. The knife slipped under the skin is an acceptable shechita, as long as you didn't injure the neck organs prior to the cutting of them. Rav Amri Tachas Ha'or Eini Yodea. The yeshiva, in the yeshiva it was said, Bei Rav is a reference to yeshiva, it was said that they don't know what the halacha of Tachas Ha'or should be. Maybe it is halacha. Ibayalaho. The Gemara now raises a question. Lebei Rav the Amri Tachas Ha'or Eini Yodea. According to this most recent opinion, the opinion of Bei Rav, that said, I don't know how to view the case of Tachas Ha'or, Tachas Matlis Mahu. What would they say in a case of a scarf, let us say, or a piece of fabric wrapped around an animal's neck, and then you slip the knife under the fabric, under the matlis, and did the shechita? Tachas tzemer mesubach mahu. Let's say you have an animal that's very, say, a woolly necked animal, which is certainly the case in sheep. And instead of shaving off the neck hairs, the neck wool, he inserted the knife into the confluence of woolly hairs, and the knife thereby was hidden by the wool, and he continued, and he then did the shechita from within the wool. What would they say about that? Teku, that remains unresolved. Rashi points out on a practical halachic level, Rashi says that since we don't know what the halacha should be, and we're dealing with an isur d'oraisa, namely the issue of a proper or improper shechita, we will adopt the more stringent approach and tell you, do not eat from meat that's shechted in this way. Boy, Rav Popo, hechlid b'miut simonim mahu. Let us say that he did a proper shechita for the majority of the neck organs, but as he was reaching the final half, the last 49%, he then slipped his knife between the organs or under the neck organs. What would the din be there? Teku. This too remains unresolved. The Mishnah. Hashochet shnei roshim ke'echad shechita sukshera. We have learned this in a previous sugya, back on Daf Chof Tes. If a person had two animals lying next to each other, and he shechted the two animals at the same time, that's okay. Shnayim ochzim besakin v'shochtim. This is a section of Mishnah that we had quoted in our previous sugya today. Two people holding knives, v'shochtim, and slaughtering, afilu echod l'malo v'echod l'mato, shchitoso k'shera. And we saw a machlokis Rav and Shmuel in how to deal with this part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah goes on. Hitiz es horosh b'vasachas. Psula. Rashi says toward the end of the narrow lines, Hitiz es horosh b'vasachas ke'odom hamatiz kone odlas dochik hasakin b'koach u'posek. This is a downward, almost chopping action, a downward pressure, like one does if he's trying to, let us say, break apart or cut apart a reed or slice open a melon. One would do a downward type pressure movement on the knife. And this is drossa. This is what Rashi says. So that's hitiz es harosh b'vasachas psula. If he was doing a lateral movement, a slicing action with the knife, and in one movement, drew the knife toward himself in one slice action, and was thereby successful in the shechita, even though we anticipate a general shechita, there's a back and forth movement here, there was only a one directional slicing action. Imyesh besakin melot savor kshera. If the knife has a sufficient length to it, the Gemara later will get into a discussion of what is meant by melot savor. But if the knife has that required length to it, then kshera. Namely, if you have a long enough knife, a one directional drawing action on the knife will be sufficient to slice the two neck organs. Hoyashochet v'hitiz shnei roshin bevasachas. He was using a knife and doing a lateral slicing action and shechted two heads with one motion. Imyesh besakin melo tzavor echod ksheira. This too will be clarified later in the Gemara in the upcoming sugyas. If there is a sufficient length to the knife, which the Mishnah says there's melo tzavor echod, but we are certainly not going to translate that at this point, leaving that for the Gemara to do later. So then it says here that even the two animals, the two necks that are cut in one shechita motion, it's kosher. B'med v'morim b'zman shehoilich v'lohevi ohevi v'loholich. All of these special halachas concerning an allowance for, or put it this way, concerning the need for a specific length of knife, a sufficiently long knife, that is necessary if you're going to do only a one-directional movement of the knife, knife either drawing it to you or pushing the knife away from you. If, however, you are using a knife and you are going to be doing a back-forth motion, a two-directional motion with the knife, afilu kolshu, afilu beizmel kshera. Even kolshu means even a very small knife, even an izmel. An izmel is the name of an implement, a very, very small blade. So even if it's this very, very small blade, but since you are going to be doing a slicing action back and forth, a back and forth motion, we are not concerned about drasa. We're not concerned that you're going to, in order to accomplish the shechita, going to put any downward motion to a downward pressure. And hence, it would be okay. However, as you can assume, if you're not going to do a back and forth motion, just a one directional motion, and attempt to do a complete shechita and not have to apply a downward pressure to it, then you'll have to have a sufficiently long knife for that. Minohani mili. The Gemara asks, from where do we know that shechita is a drawing action as opposed to a downward pressure action? Omar Shmuel, the Omar Kral, the Pasuk says, Shechetz Shechut Lishonam Mirma Diber. Shechita is featured in this Pasuk, and it's described as the motion of an arrow. A shot arrow is a lateral, is moving laterally. It's not pressing down, but it's flying across. And that's what Shechita is. Tana debei Rabbi Yishmoel. Vishochat. Ein vishochat ela u'moshach. The Tana debei Yishmoel sees in the word vishochat the meaning of the word as drawing. V'chein hu omer zov shochut. V'omer chetz shochut l'shonam mirma diber. The Gemara asks, what do I need the second pasuk for? My v'omer. Could I not have learned from Zohav Shachut that it's a lateral motion? And the intention being Zohav Shachut, Rashi explained on that it's a type of soft or malleable gold that you can draw and stretch. So isn't Zohav Shachut sufficient to describe Shechita as a lateral action? What do I need the second pasuk for? So, V'chitema, you might have thought that had I not had the second pasuk, rather that Zohav Shachut equals Shenitve Kechut Hu. That the word Zohav Shachut really is Zohav Shechut, Chut meaning a string. And the pasuk is describing gold that could be made, is so soft and flexible that it could be made into a string. And if that be the case, then shochat I wouldn't see how shochat is a lashon of meshicha. Therefore, toshma, I need the second pasuk to help clarify the first pasuk, where it says chetz shochut lishonam, which tells us that shochut is like the movement of an arrow, and that's a lateral movement. And with that, then I understand that Zohav Shachut also is the stretching, the pulling apart, or the stretching of gold, which is also a lateral type of stretching apart movement. Rava have a bodik le gira le rabbiyona bar tachlifa. Rava checked the arrowhead, making sure that it was smooth, meaning we'll say sharp, a sharp edged arrow without any kinks in it. He then gave this arrow to Rav Yoina bar Tachlifa, apparently an expert marksman, who shot the arrow v'shochat bo oifa b'hadi deparach and successfully slaughtered a bird in flight. Well, v'dilma ovid chalada, maybe chalada was done. Maybe the arrow penetrated the side of the neck of the bird and entered between the neck organs, thereby being in violation of chalada. The Gemara answers, no, I don't have to worry about that in this case because we found the bird and chazinon de gidfi de miframi. It was noticed that the external neck feathers were themselves cut, indicating that the arrow came across the neck of this bird externally and sliced it open. The Gemara raises another technical question with regard to this shechting of the bird in flight. V'haboi kisui. Isn't there a need for covering the blood? As is known in the shechita of birds and undomesticated kosher vine animals, there's a mitzvah to do kisui hadam. So what about that, the covering of the blood with dirt? This is a long question, by the way. A number of details of kisui hadam will be raised in this question, but the basic question is, what about the kisui hadam mitzvah? By the way, we're not suggesting here that without doing kisui hadam, the bird would not be edible or allowed. That's not the case. But nevertheless, we're talking about great rabbis who are using this, we'll say this arrow, the shot arrow method for shechting the bird. What about the other accompanying halachas that apply? So what about kisui? V'chitema demichsule, and if you'll say, well, they found a spot on the ground where the blood landed and they covered it, that's really not sufficient. V'amar Rabbi Zera, amar Rav, hashochet tzorch shitein ofer lamata v'ofer lamala. That to accomplish kisui, the one who shechts has to have a layer of dirt placed on the ground below the blood, namely prior to the shechita, you have to shecht over placed dirt. And then, after the shechita, after the blood landed on the dirt that you placed lamata on the ground, you then cover it with another layer of dirt above the blood. Shenemar, the pasuk teaches, in fact, this halacha. It says v'chiso be'ofar. Ofar lo ne'emar ela be'ofar. The pasuk says v'chiso be'ofar. It doesn't say v'chiso ofar. If it would have said v'chiso ofar, then that would mean simply cover it with dirt. But it says kiso be'ofar. The bays indicates something internal. In other words, the blood is contained within dirt, and that's accomplished by having dirt from underneath and dirt above. So once again, reading the last few words again, malamit shashochitzov shitein ofar lamata v'ofar lamala. How was that accomplished in this flying bird shechita story? The Gemara answers, it was demazmin le laofar dekula pascha. They had prepared the whole region, the whole valley, with dirt. There are other pshatim as to exactly what happened, but for our purposes, they took that into consideration and made sure that the area, the pascha, the bika, the valley, that area where the bird was flying had already had a layer of dirt from underneath, and therefore kisui hadam was accomplished properly. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.